This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
Not a place, it's the people that I've really chosen to be my family.
So I just remember saying to my mother one time, you know, everything's the same and I feel completely different about it.
She would have said, you know, be careful. Usual things mommy say, be careful, don't get caught.
I could see that being a single mother was going to be very scary and there wasn't going to be much food and I had no skills.
And I think that was the first time I felt kind of grown up.
It took time for me to shed my old identity and assume this new one.
But that was one point when I realized there was a possibility outside of what I had been taught.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map, stories about journeys from Sebastopol, California, with Conrad Bishop, hello.
And Elizabeth Fuller. And for some reason, you're going to hear my voice a whole lot in the next half hour. It just turned out that way.
And it just turned out that the show today is a lot about mothers and daughters.
Which I guess covers a pretty wide range for me, since I had a genuinely horrible relationship with my mother and a really beautiful one with my daughter. Except that, damn it, she lives in Tuscany, and that's pretty hard for dropping in for Sunday brunch.
So a bunch of stories today. The first grew out of an improvisation in our Genesis Ensemble workshop, a group who meet in our garage studio to explore stories. This is Shoppers.
I was about 6 or 7, maybe. We had an apartment in way southwest Philadelphia. My dad worked in construction, but he was out of work a lot. And I had the usual childhood, couple brothers, friends. My mom and dad had disagreements, but they got along okay. All the stuff that's happened to me in the rest of life, I never blamed on them. It was in January, I guess, right after Christmas.
What do they think? We can't afford to buy our clothes?
Well, can we? It's a present, a Christmas present. They like to give their grandkids presents. They can afford it. The boys got bikes. What's the difference?
There's a difference between bikes and a winter coat.
There sure was. Grandpa and Grandma gave my brothers bikes. For me, they sent money for a coat.
So what am I supposed to do?
Go buy a coat.
They said go downtown to Wanamaker's, get something nice. Honey, get up. Elizabeth, get up. We're going downtown.
It's dark.
It's just overcast. The sun's not out. Get up. We're going shopping at Wanamaker's.
What's Wanamaker's?
I told you. It's the big department store where they have really beautiful things. And I bet their Christmas lights are still up. And they've got this big, huge pipe organ that they play. And Grandma and Grandpa gave you some money for clothes. So we're going to get something really, really nice.
I had a dream.
Come on. We have to get going. Bad dream?
Story you read about the sun.
What? The sun god and the chariot?
I'm carrying the sun across the sky.
Well, that was what people believed a long time ago. Now, come on.
How could they do that? And wouldn't the sun burn up the chariot and the horses?
It's a story, okay? It's a mythological story. They believed that a long time ago, before they knew the sun was really huge and rotated around the earth.
It doesn't.
It's right. Well, whatever. Come on.
Is the bus gonna come?
Sometime. It's supposed to come every half hour.
I'm cold.
That's why you need a new coat. Your grandma saw you in that. I knew there was gonna be trouble. I was supposed to marry a nice college boy from the main line. According to her, I followed my hormones instead.
What's hormones?
Never mind. Where's the damn bus?
Why isn't the sun out?
It's out. You just can't see it. It's behind the clouds. It's winter. It's Philadelphia.
Well, what if there was a sun god before and then they changed
it? They didn't change it. There was always just one god. They just didn't know any better.
It would have been better to have a sun god. And then he could just be the sun god and do that all the time and be warm.
Well, don't talk like that to your grandma. She'll think we're raising heathens. Is that the bus?
It wasn't the bus. It came from a far distance, rising up. Could see the horses, the flare of the manes, and then the sun. Sun God, the sun. I wanted to look at Mom, but I was afraid she'd be afraid, and then I'd be too afraid to look, like when my brothers found the dead cat. So I just held onto her hand, and the street got bright. The buildings were gold, and the bricks real gold, and we'd be rich. And he came, and he stopped.
Yotrechka!
He was a little tiny guy. I thought he was tall, but he was standing up on the seat, and his face was gold and a big nose and long silver hair with sparks shooting out like sparklers and light and kind of a yellow bathrobe. He had the reins in one hand and a cup of coffee.
Yotrechka!
I guess that meant get in. I looked at Mom.
Well, get in. It's the bus.
Well, that's the dock.
We got on the chariot. Mom paid the fare.
Watch out.
The horses took off. We rose up over the street.
Elizabeth, close your eyes.
Why?
You'll be scared.
I'm not scared.
Do as I say.
But now I can't see.
There's nothing to see. It's the street.
Well, then what's scary?
Nothing. Shut up.
I peeked. We're rising up over the buildings and the windows glitter. The bricks come alive in the sunlight, and then we're high. Philadelphia stretched out like a bedspread with these little blocky patterns and big stripes and blotches of green and the rivers. No streets now, far below the rivers, and then the open space. I peeked up at Mom. Her eyes were shut. Oh, Mom, it's bright. Up ahead, the sunlight is leaping onto the hills and bounding over the rolling hills. We cut through the clouds. The trees stretch up their limbs and say good morning.
Go, Mom!
I don't need a coat now. Mom, it's warm.
We'll be there soon, honey. It's okay.
It's okay, Mom.
It's okay.
Zarts night!
What does that mean? What's the driver saying? Whole forests are turning their leaves. Look back, see my shadow on the clouds? Like Santa Claus bringing presents, we're bringing the sun.
Sun!
So, that means sun.
Honey, this is the South Street Bridge. It's not real far now.
Look up at the driver. Can't see him. He's too bright. His hair is streaming out. Long whip snaps it over the horses.
Tokyo!
He sounds angry, but he's not angry. He just has to travel a long, long way.
We're here. Come on. This is our stop. Elizabeth, come on. Come on, get up. This is Wanamaker's.
Mom!
Oh, look at the decorations. And you can see way up there. That's the big pipe organ. Maybe they'll play that. Now try this on. This is beautiful. How does it feel?
Mom!
I think it's beautiful. You look good in pink. What else do we need? Mittens. Try these on. They look kind of funny, but they'll be warm. That's good. You want some hot chocolate?
Mommy!
Hot chocolate to get us warm.
What'll it be?
Two hot chocolates, okay? Finish your hot chocolate. We have to go.
Let's snipe!
Take hold of my hand. All these people. Bus stop. Here we are. Get on the bus. Sit by the window. Button your coat. Keep warm.
Mom!
Nice coat.
I think it is. She looks good in pink.
Have a good time, honey?
She had a wonderful time. We had hot chocolate, saw all the decorations.
Mom, you saw him too.
Did you like the pipe organ? We didn't have time to hear it play. Honey, did you like the pipe organ?
Mom, the sun god up in the sky, you saw him.
Lunch night!
She was kind of scared of the bus.
That was the first time I knew we were in different worlds, my mother and me. I didn't speak her language anymore, but I didn't know what the sun god said. I didn't know the words for Zorchnoi. I went past the bus stop every day, till after high school, and I moved to Baltimore. And I waited many years before the chariot came again.
Zorchnoi.
Zorchnoi.
That was Shoppers by Bishop and Fuller. The actors were Mary Criquette, Dave Barry, Elizabeth Fuller, Elaine Holtz, and yours truly as the Sun God.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
Well, a little philosophy here now. I don't like for us to babble on a whole lot because I think, you know, kind of our basic mission is to be a whiff of mindless entertainment amid the deep profundity of public radio. But what is this thing with mothers and daughters? You know, the conventional wisdom is that either it's a relationship of joyous sisterhood or else it's a kind of a slow motion version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You're the expert. You're a mother and a daughter and all that.
Okay,
so.
All right. But you've been a father and a son.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's any different one side or the other of the gender fence. There's the factor of the similarity. I mean, you're kind of presented with either, oh, great, that's who I get to grow up and be, or, oh, God, that's who I'm going to grow up to be, you know, because you're the same gender, so you presume that's what's down the road for you. Maybe it's a little harder to reject somebody that's part of your lineage in the grand Russian doll heritage, you know, where the doll keeps coming out of the doll, keeps coming out of the doll, keeps coming out of the doll.
Stop, yes. We thought we'd toss in just three very short stories from a series we did a few years back of short vignettes called Family Snapshots. We decided at that time we should really analyze clearly what the potential market was and try to think, well, what is the optimal attention span for radio listening in the end of the millennium? 90 seconds. So here are three short stories. We'll hear Mistakes, Jackie, and Thank You Note.
Telling you.
I heard you. You're telling me over
but
and
I want
over.
You to listen.
Mom!
Honey, I'm not trying to run your life. I just want a good life for you. I want a better life than I had, and it's so easy to mess up. I know you're smart. You're smarter than I was at your age, and when you start to get serious about some young man, I mean, you have the advantage because you can learn from my mistakes.
What mistakes?
Just things that I did that I would have been better off not doing.
Like what?
Just things that I did at your age that at the time I didn't know any better and I thought I was so smart.
What?
What, huh?
You said you learned from your mistakes. So, what mistakes?
Mistakes. None of your business. Never mind. Shut up.
All she does is nag. She never listens. She never says anything.
I'm scared to death.
She's a total hypocrite.
My kid's too much like me.
Keep thinking about the things I wish I could have asked my parents. I keep trying to.
This was a snapshot for the ear by The Independent Eye, brought to you by the next generation, who says,
I wish I could say thank you.
Jackie, what you doing?
Cleaning some old junk out of the closet.
This what you throwing away?
Grandma, it's an old doll. It's junk.
That's Jackie.
What?
That's you. That's Jackie.
Grandma.
Give it here. When your mama and your papa was together, and she was 16, and she was going to have you, she set this doll at the table to pretend it was you, and they called it Jackie.
What?
She thought it was going to be just like having a dolly. Then they got you.
That makes me so mad.
What?
Couple of immature, selfish kids have a baby, think it's gonna act like a doll?
Are you Jackie?
What?
I ask, are you Jackie? The Jackie I know was raised by her grandma into a big, strong, beautiful woman that don't have no reason on God's earth to feel sorry for herself.
A child should have parents.
Should made the milk sour.
If she says that one more
should
time.
Should make the milk sour.
I should have been able to.
Should make the milk sour.
My mother should have been able.
Should make the milk sour. Never could tell why that doll was white. And you come out black.
I decided to be like my grandma.
This was a snapshot for the ear by The Independent Eye, brought to you by the now generation, who says,
thank you.
I need it.
Could we just eat?
Also eat.
I'm trying.
Mom, I'll do it.
You already said that.
So what do you want me to say?
I want you to do it. Now stop saying it and do it.
Could you pass potatoes?
Louise is your aunt and she's my sister and she sent you a birthday present and she deserves a thank you note.
I don't know what to say.
Say thank you.
Thanks.
I just can't say that. It's stupid.
Thank you for the lovely present. I like it. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm speechless. Yours truly. She called and asked, did Sally get the present? I was so embarrassed.
Why? It's my business. I could write it if you didn't keep nagging.
If you just followed through with one thing you ever say you're going to do, you say you'll do it, and then you don't, and then I nag, and then you feel persecuted. I'll write it for you.
No.
Is there any dessert?
Well, hey, thanks for the...
I never asked her for it.
Mom says, write you this note.
All it does is make me feel guilty.
It's the most beautiful...
Oh, God.
Hey, just fake it. This was a snapshot for the ear by The Independent Eye, brought to you by the next generation, who says...
Thank you for the thing.
Three stories from Family Snapshots. And we just burned a CD of that series, 54 90-second dramas, believe it or not. I really have to say this because I just recently saw Elizabeth sitting there shell-shocked paying the bills. So consider these things as possibilities in your life. It's the gift that could give your family endless pleasure and joy, or it might alienate you forever, and then you'd save so much time. Anyway, look on the bright side. Consider. It's at our website, www.independenteye.org.
We have such a knack for commercial appeal.
We try. Well, I've always had this nagging urge to sell out, but maybe we've just been saved from mediocrity by a lack of talent for it. Next up, another story from our friend in Kansas, Deborah Schaus. But first, a very short piece we thought would make a good intro to it. From producer Joan Schumann, this is Skin Stories, and then we'll segue right into Deborah's story, Mark Her Words.
I had a problem with, minor self-mutilation, and so I'd cut myself on my skin and burn myself on my skin. I think it was to a degree a punishment for not keeping myself together, and that's the responsibility of skin,
my life
is
keeping
apart,
my community together,
emotionally falling apart. I think that I was punishing my skin for that. My tattoos are like a excuse me or something to the world. They do separate me from part of society. One idea is to have a black and white rose sort of intertwined. I haven't decided where on my body. And black rose is an anarchist symbol, and the white rose has... Well, it's sort of like a yin-yang kind of thing.
I want to get...
balance, but also the white rose is the name of this Jewish resistance group. But actually, a friend of mine and I, who both have tattoos, have talked a lot about the idea of getting yellow stars tattooed on us and what that would mean to us. Partially, it would be meaningful because, recognizing our Jewishness, but we were thinking of it more in terms of, in a way, the way that pink triangles were first used again when they started to be used by queer culture or whatever, of saying that we're still marked.
We're both Jewish.
We're both Jewish.
Skin.
Skin.
I got a tattoo. My daughter's voice is a child bouncing on the sofa. I press the phone closer to my ear. Where? Don't worry, Mom, it's on my back. It's beautiful. A triangle with a woman sign inside. Did it hurt? Sarah walks into the room and I tell her, Hailey got a tattoo. Really? She reaches for the phone. What'd you get? Wow, it sounds totally cool. I listen to Sarah's excitement. That's how I want to act next time. What if there is a next time? I want to know, what will make you freak out the most? Hailey says when she calls the next day. Visible tattoos, face piercing, or scars? Scars, tattoos, and visible face piercing in that order, I report. I don't think I'm going to do any of those things, but I'll prepare you if I do. I want you to understand why this is so important to me, she says. Hailey already has scars, She cut at her upper arms so she would not slice her wrists and kill herself. Her scars are symbols that she was strong enough to stay alive. This she explained to me several weeks ago. I look at the tender buds of pink skin on my daughter's arm. She knew how to keep herself alive. 3 years ago, Hailey came into my office and said, "I was sexually abused as a child. When I breathed again, everything was different. My history was shattered. The family photos destroyed. Those words explained so much of my daughter to me. My child was abused. I go for a day without thinking about it, and then the words slam into me. How can I forgive myself for not knowing? How can I accept that I didn't live up to the basic tenet of motherhood to keep my child safe? Forgive yourself, my friends urge. You did your best. Hailey is undoing her hurt. She is stepping out and embracing her body. She pierces her labia, her nipple. She tattoos her back, dyes her hair blonde, shaves her legs, and puts on long blue polished fingernails. She reads about tribal scarifications to honor the body. Every poke of the needle is a step toward herself. Now I look at the nose and eyebrow pierces, the yin-yang tattoo of the cashier at the health food store, differently. What used to be mere squiggles of color and pieces of silver, I now see spelling out deeper stories for those who can read them. Hailey is teaching me to read. I am slow. I resist. I cringe at the idea of my daughter being hurt. I was in pain before and had only misery to show for it, she explains. Now I choose the pain, and I have something beautiful. Do you understand? I want to tell her she's done enough. She can stop for a while. I'm thinking about tattooing survivor in Hebrew around my wrist. That way I know I will never try to kill myself. Here is my child, transmuting pain into celebration. I call a synagogue and ask the rabbi if he will write out survivor in Hebrew for me. Which survivor do you want, he says. Survivor as in one left behind after a death, or the survivor of trauma like a concentration camp survivor? The survivor of trauma, I tell him. He agrees to do this, and I read him my fax number. An hour later, the ancient letters appear, complete with cover sheet. For years, my daughter's arms were folded against me. She lived apart and didn't want to see me. Now she's opening to me, to herself, to life. I worry I spent too much money on this tattoo, she says. It's not really expensive when you amortize the cost over 70 years, I tell her. The tattoo hasn't quite healed. The woman's symbol is puffy and swollen. Isn't it gorgeous? Don't you want to get a tattoo? When the child goes away for a long, long time, you wait. Every inhale is hope, every exhale despair. You go through life working, smiling, talking, hugging, acting like part of you is not standing on the pier, staring out to sea, waiting. My body is not decorated by needles or ink. This child is my tattoo, my indelible mark that I lived through pain and into celebration. She is the story of my skin and heart written all over me for anyone who is able to read.
That was Mark Her Words, written by Deborah Schaus, performed by Elizabeth Fuller, with music by Elizabeth Fuller. Deborah has many stories on her website, www.thecreativityconnection.com. And before that, we heard Skin Stories from independent producer Joan Schumann in Tucson, Arizona. We'll have a longer story next week from Joan, plus a personal profile and all her website stuff.
Hitchhiking Off the Map is a production of The Independent Eye, with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and the contributing members of the Hitchhikers Guild. You can become a member. You can send us a story. You can listen to past shows. You can get gift CDs and tapes. You can just flake off into Nirvana, all at our website, www.independenteye.org.
Yeah, we're trying to get all that stuff in without sounding real pushy and commercial. Once somebody said they didn't want to carry another one of our series because we sounded too slick. I don't have a suit and tie. Where is my suit and tie? Really need. Next up, a woman's parents are fine with her finding her lesbian identity, but it's harder when she reclaims her Jewish roots.
And an interview with the woman who produced that interview about what she'd ask if she were interviewing herself.
This is Conrad Bishop.
And I claim to be Elizabeth Fuller. Peace and joy.
I mean, that was also a piece of my childhood, is that when I was sick, I would go to my mother and I would lay down. She would put her hand on my head and stroke my forehead and sing this one particular hymn to me, and I would fall asleep and I would wake up well.